So are we going ham and cheese Hot Pocket, pepperoni Hot Pocket? What was your go-to Hot Pocket move?
First of all, I was okay with any of them, but pepperoni was kind of the...
I think so too.
Breakfast Hot Pockets?
I've never had the pleasure.
I got in a phase when I was younger where I only ate breakfast Hot Pockets for a long time.
Is it just eggs and cheese?
Just ham, eggs, and cheese. It's similar to what it is. It just has eggs
in it. Has an egg in it. It's okay. I'd give that a whirl.
It literally is a science, because whatever the instructions say on the Hot Pocket of how to heat it up, you ever put it in the oven?
I have not.
I can't.
What's the Hot Pocket? Look, the whole purpose of a Hot Pocket is so it's ready in 30 seconds. If I want to put something in the oven, I'm not going to use a Hot Pocket. I'm going to use something else.
The 30-second thing, what is he talking about? There's no Hot Pocket that can be made in 30 seconds.
Whatever it was, a minute or whatever. An oven is a full 20-minute adventure.
That's what I'm saying. That's the same thing with, we were talking about, I think, one time reheating pizza.
Yeah.
The best way to do it is throw it back in the oven.
Of course it is, but
I don't have the time.
I don't have the
Actually,
discipline.
I have the time. I don't have the discipline.
That's
you just
got to
do what I do and just not refrigerate it.
Let's not revisit your pizza habits. That's something I'm trying very hard to forget
about. It's Sunday. She's like, yeah, pizza's from Thursday. Yeah, let's get it in.
Fine. You're still with us, so I guess it's okay. You haven't been taken out by foodborne illness yet, so that's something along the way. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. So, Dave Roberts, you brought up a good point.
Yeah.
So when we were talking about Andrew Friedman, when he was asked about the Julio Urías, why'd he pitch in game two and then come back and pitch in game four? And he said, look, it's a fair question, and I certainly understand where it's coming from. That's a better question asked of Dave and Mark Pryor. And it wasn't,
is that the wrong answer?
It's an interesting answer. I think it's a tactical answer.
We're talking.
Yeah. I don't think it was meant to drop a bomb in the middle of the room, because he would have gone more in that direction if he wanted to do that. But it wasn't, look, these are things we talk about. The decisions are made. We thought it was the right move in the moment.
Yeah.
We
so easy to second guess yourself.
Yes,
you know what? This is how we put.
But in the moment, we thought it was the right decision. But as it turns out, it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And if we could do it again differently, we might do it differently. That's not what it was. That was, I get what you're asking. Yeah, that was one of those things.
Fair,
that
made fair me go, question.
Yeah, fair question. You probably ask those guys. It was a different way of going about it. And you brought up a really good point. What does that mean for Dave Roberts when it comes back around? Because, again, it wasn't a bombshell, but
No. It
wasn't nothing either. Like, what do you make of him saying, hey, go ask Doc?
But every reporter is going to say, okay, absolutely. So when they get a chance to talk to Doc, hey, we talked to Andrew Friedman. We brought up this specific situation, this predicament. He said that's a better question for you. So now we will ask you a question, right?
There you
like
go.
All they're going to do is just repeat what Friedman said.
But it changes a little bit, right? Because – he could just say, guys, I already told you why I did it after the game. Mm-hmm. I already told you why I did it the day after the game. I'm not going over it again. Even if Andrew Friedman is saying, hey, ask them, I've already answered the question. There's nothing left for me to tell you that I haven't already told you.
Mm-hmm.
We're done with that. And it creates he didn't just say, he could have said this. Andrew Friedman could have said, Doc's already talked about that. Did it work out? No. But, he's addressed what his thought process, and we're going to go with that. He didn't do that.
Well, you mentioned something. Maybe this is going to be more the question for Dave. You mentioned that you were a little surprised. Oh, okay, so how many calls did we take? And people want to throw shade on Dave Roberts. And you say, guys, slow down on the Dave thing. Is maybe the question to Dave, when the game starts, you guys go through your game plan coming into the game.
Mm-hmm.
But once the game starts, is every single decision, is it much less impacted than maybe other people thought?
This is where I think you and I have like a philosophical difference on human beings. Mm-hmm. Because Andrew Friedman said again in this press conference, guys, this is the same thing that we've been doing before. These are not my decisions. These are decisions that we discuss beforehand. We do as much work beforehand as we can. We get as much information as we can. We think about as many possible situations as we can. But once the game starts, there are so many variations on scenarios. You just have to let your coaching staff and your manager make the decisions. I've said it last year. I've said it the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that, and I'm telling you it again. Okay, I get it. This felt a little different. This was – you can believe him or not. You can choose to believe how far that collaboration goes. I've always thought that the managing of the batting order in the moment, do you hit here, do you not hit here, those were more Dave things. The pitching things I thought were more predetermined. But this very clearly said, I'm not taking ownership of this one. That one is theirs. Before it's been – look, we talk about it. It just feels different.
Did you hear what he said about Trevor Bauer?
I did. look, this is I didn't like this answer at all. He was asked about, you know, Trevor Bauer's situation, and basically he got to this answer, which was, you know, we have to try to find as much information about these guys as we can.
We always want as much information as we can possibly get. There are some restrictions on what we can do, but we always want as much as we can. You know, I would hope with everything we do, we're better now than we were 2 years ago, better than 5 years ago, better than 10 years ago, and I hope 5 years from now we're way better than we are now.
Okay, sure. You want to get a little better over time. Do better today than you did yesterday, and we'll do better tomorrow than we did today. I get it. The Trevor Bauer thing, you did not need a crystal ball. You did not need to hire a private investigator, an FBI agent. The Trevor Bauer stuff was right there for anybody that wanted to see it. Trevor Bauer is one of the best pitchers in baseball and has been for quite some time. He's also been on four teams in less than 10 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, that tells you something. Trevor Bauer has a history of behavior, mostly online stuff, that could be described as misogynistic. He's had several things that he had to kind of go back and try to clean up. He has not been particularly well-regarded on the teams that he's been to previously. No one ever questions his ability to play. At his opening press conference, when they announced that they were signing him at the beginning of spring training, the questions about Trevor Bauer, how's he going to fit in, you know, because of his deal? This was not a mystery that Trevor Bauer. Now, what he ultimately ended up being accused of is a step much further than the things we've talked about. But this idea that you didn't know that Trevor Bauer was potentially a disruptive presence, that's not I'm not buying that.
You know, it's interesting because we talk so much about this Dodger organization. We compliment them. Man, look what they do. How can they find – they can find somebody playing average baseball somewhere else and then take them into within their organization and they become Max Muncy. Mm-hmm. And they become Chris Taylor.
Justin Turner.
And they become Justin Turner. They can churn. How much of this do you think when they went out and signed Trevor Bauer? Hey, no, we're the organization that can fix this. We're the organization that we could take on something like this. And not only are we getting one of the best pitchers in baseball, not only does that increase our chances of, on the baseball field alone, increase our chances of going back to back, but on top of that, no, we're the organization that can straighten some people, can kind of fix things that didn't go well somewhere else. Mm-hmm. That probably has a lot to do with it
as
well.
I think it's part of it. Yeah. I do, but again, you're kind of – this is
it's
where
It's two
think
different things.
It is.
It's not apples to apples at all because somebody who's struggling because of his –
Look, if a guy's hard to deal with over here, and he's hard to deal with over here, and he's hard to deal with over here, and you're telling yourself, no, it's going to be different here, I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know what to tell you. Why?
It happens in sports.
Not often.
If the situation is good and coach is right, I mean, it happens.
I don't want to say it never happens, but the other thing happens far more often.
You're probably right.
That people are who they are. Yeah. I don't know who said this first, so forgive me. People will tell you who they are. You just need to listen, right? They're telling you who they are. Just listen to what Don't talk yourself. It's not really like that. Yeah, it is. Most of the time, it's exactly what it is that it looks like.
That's a good way to put it. And since you don't know who said that, that's yours.
Yeah,
I think that's how it works.
I'm not nearly as insightful.
I think you don't have to quote who it is if you forgot who it was.
And then there's this. Then there's the Clayton Kershaw aspect of all of this, because this is interesting to me. Again, I think that, listen to this. Here's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
Before I play it, I want to tell you what I'm hearing. What I'm hearing when he was asked about Clayton Kershaw is, we'd love to keep him because he's a Dodger and we love him.
Something cool about there's one jersey representing one player. Yep.
We still think he's a very valuable member of the organization. We think he could help us win a bunch of games. This is all good news we would love to have him here. But I ain't breaking the bank for this. He's going to need to take
a
little bit of money, because if somebody else goes big, good for Clayton.
There's something nostalgic and great about, you know, Kersh playing with one team and, you know, being able to win another championship and having a parade. That being said, you know, he's put himself in this position to be able to go out and do whatever makes the most sense for his family, and we will support that.
Whatever makes sense for his family means if somebody goes big, I just can't get there. Maya Angelou, Emily, that's who I quoted?
That's correct.
See, you guys didn't know I was that deep. I didn't know it was
Travis Rogers.
I dropped a Maya Angelou quote was off of the books for today.
You can get anything in Sports Talk Radio.
That's right. Hot Pockets and Maya Angelou. I've got you covered either way.
So something just to play off what you just mentioned. You know what Andrew Friedman sounds like when he's talking about Clayton Kershaw? A responsible front office employee.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not telling you don't go after Clayton Kershaw. And I'm not saying don't do everything you possibly. Clayton Kershaw is going to decide whether he wants to stay with the Dodgers or not. I don't think the Dodgers are going to decide whether Clayton Kershaw wants to be here, because I don't think they're going to give him a disrespectful offer that is going to be at an amount where he's going
to
say,
I have no choice but
you
to leave.
Made the choice for me. Yeah. I think Kershaw is going to be in a position where he's going to have to make a decision. Do I want X amount of more dollars to go play for a franchise that's not going to compete for a World Series, but maybe be where my family wants to be? Maybe there's other things that factor into it. Or he's going to say to his wife and his children and his family, guys, it's a three-year contract. It's three more years. We got the rest of our life together. We go to Texas right after that, and all is good. I think he will ultimately make the decision, because I don't think Andrew Friedman is going to say, hey, we're offering you 2 years, $20 million. That's not going to happen.
No, they're not going to go
And they're also not going to pay him the fourth best pitcher in a starting rotation. They're also not going
to
do that.
It's going to be – I'm trying to think of a way to – so when Albert Pujols was done in St. Louis,
yeah.
Okay, they had gotten all of the very best baseball out of Albert Pujols. What was coming next was going to be something that was a fraction of what he had already done. Mm. And the St. Louis Cardinals offered him a deal that was above market value, but not crazy.
Do you remember what it was? Because I don't.
I don't either. Okay. And then the Angels came in and said, how about we give you $250 million?
Let us show you
years.
What an irresponsible franchise is right. That doesn't know what they're doing with their money, that's going to be on the top of every sports headline for a couple of days, and then figure out that this was a bad investment.
And that's where Albert said, like, I can't not take $250 million. I have to take that. I'm sure he would have rather have stayed in St. Louis if it was close, but it wasn't. The Angels went so above and beyond what the market was saying that my decision's made for it. I don't think the Dodgers are going to go
price
to that.
You can't refuse.
No, they're going to give you what's the going rate for a very, very good pitcher? That's X. We're going to offer you X plus 5%. Okay. Somebody else may come in and say, we're going to give you X plus 25%.
Yeah.
Then there's nothing we can do. And then Dodger fans aren't looking at it like, hey, why did you do the guy like that? We didn't. We gave him an offer that was at or above market value because we wanted him to stay, but we can't do that. Mm-hmm. And I think even casual Dodger fans, that would be a bad deal.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, so just a quick recap of how the game works. We pick four games with the spread. We rank them according to how confident we are. The game that you like the most, you award four potential points to. The game that you like the least, you get one. We add them up at the end of the week, and we keep a running total. So far, Alan Sliwa is the overall leader with 32 points, coming off of a perfect 10-point week last week.
Don't say that, because you're already jinxing me.
No, you did.
Right,
you had 10.
Out the gate.
You had 10. The guests, we have a guest picker every week. They are currently in second with 26. They are 6 points behind you, and I am 7 points behind you with 25.
Okay, and just so the listeners understand, if you end up winning this whole thing,
yes,
you stay 1 week at the Rogers household. You stay in the master bedroom.
We'll see.
And you know,
if it's a guest, that's fine. If it's you, we're going to change the rules. We'll see how that goes. All right. Our guest picker this week is Brian in Ladera Ranch. Brian, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling really good. Hey, Trav, weren't you like ahead last week? Now Slee has an insurmountable lead.
Well, Brian, it's not insurmountable.
Brian, don't do this. He just did it. You guys are both jinxing this thing, okay? I already don't feel good about the picks.
All right, let's get to the picks. We're going to start with the game that is tonight. It's actually a very good game. Green Bay at the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are a 6.5-point favorite. I'm going to go first on this one. Green Bay is basically going to be playing some guys off the street at wide receiver last night. They are completely banged up. I like Arizona in this one, but Aaron Rodgers causes me to just take a little bit of time here. I'm going to take Arizona, and I'm going to put them at number 2. Brian, what do you got? Green Bay at Arizona.
All I know about this game is that Aaron Rodgers has been growing his hair out for an entire year.
That plays into it. That's
Halloween,
a good, great observation right
for
there.
For his Halloween costume. How did he know he'd even be playing on Thursday? The games are, the Halloween's on a Sunday this week. Between that and his engagement, I think Aaron Rodgers has a little too much going off the field. I like Arizona in this game, and I'm super confident. I'm supremely confident, so I'm going to make that my one. Number one.
There you go. Arizona at one for Brian Slee.
Okay, does he know super confident means, as in he wants that to be his highest
total? I think
total?
He was being ironic.
Okay, all right. He said, so good here.
NFT, no fun traps.
Okay, I'm not confident about this one.
Okay.
But I'm going to go against the grain a little bit on this. I'm going to take the Packers, even though Aaron Rodgers has nobody to throw it to. But he's Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
I don't like the fact that it's on the road. I don't like the fact that Arizona's sitting at 7-0. With all that being said, I still don't know why I'm taking the Packers. I'll take the Pack. I'm going to go 2-point total on this one. Just
right.
A two on this
Green
one.
Bay for Slee at two. We'll go to the next game. It is the Rams. They're on the road against the arguably the worst team in the league, the Houston Texans. The Texans are a 14.5-point underdog.
Yeah.
Brian, who do you got?
Trav, Houston, this is the same city that thinks Major League Baseball scapegoated their baseball team for cheating because we're all jealous of them. Step one in the jealousy equation, knowing something exists. I don't like Houston's one of the worst teams in football. It's a pretty big spread. That said, not a fan of Houston or any of their teams. I'll take the Rams. I'll lay the 14.5. And again, extremely confident in that one. I'm going to make that one my number one. Number one.
You already picked number one. You had Arizona last week, or last pick, number one.
I got
it's
two
one
number
through four.
Now.
No, listen. So look, it's
number one.
Your most confident should be a four. Your least confident should be a one. So do you want
so
this to be
confusing.
A four?
Or? Make it a two. I don't know.
Okay, make it a two.
Over
I like it.
All right. So the Rams at number two. Slee, who you got?
I'm going to – so Rams covered 2 weeks ago. Who did they play 2 weeks ago?
The Giants.
Okay, covered 2 weeks ago.
Did not cover last week.
Last week they didn't, and I picked the Rams not to cover. I think Rams cover this time around. I'm going to roll the dice here and say, let's go four. That's my most confident.
L.A. Rams, number four. I'll make it a clean sweep. I'm going to take the Rams as well, but I'm going to put them at the bottom just because it's 14.5. I'm going to take the Rams at number one. We'll go to the third game.
What the hell
am I doing?
New England
Patriots. I'm not quite sure. Two touchdowns plus is quite a bit, but we'll see. The other L.A. team, the New England Patriots at the Chargers. The Chargers are a 6-point favorite in that one. Slee, who you got?
6-point favorite for the Chargers. I actually think this is going to be a good game. Probably closer than people think. I'll take Patriots in this one. I'll put a two.
All right. New England at two. You already have a two. You have Green Bay at two.
Like I said, I'll take Patriots in this
oh,
one.
Good job,
I'll put them at a – thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Put them at a three.
He's doubling up on the two. But he has the nerve to shame me over here.
So you want three with New England,
I'll
Slee?
Go three. By the way, Brian's a keeper. We should bring this guy. He should be doing – yeah, I think he earned
don't,
another
don't encourage,
week.
Don't encourage
he earned
Brian.
Another week.
Don't encourage Brian. Brian.
Unbelievable.
Who do you have with the Chargers and the Pats?
Hey, I haven't been to SoFi, Trav, but I assume they have one of those sad Lucite boxes where people smoke cigarettes in. It's enclosed, so there has to be a place to smoke.
Like the airport.
If so, somebody go to that Lucite box, find Ben Affleck in that room, and do that Goodwill Hunting thing. Hey, do you like apples? How do you like them apples? Make a video of it, and I'll send you a box of Hot Pockets. I like the Chargers here. I like them to cover. Make them my four.
All right, so Chargers at four and a little Hot Pocket joke in there, too.
By the way, SoFi, I've
wait, what,
been.
What
it's okay. Brian, it's all right. It's you know, I'd have done a couple things a little different. But.
All right, yeah. My turn to pick the Chargers and the Pats. I'm going to take the Chargers as well. I think Chargers are really good. I'm not sold on the Pats. I'm going to go with Chargers at number three, which brings us to our final game, which is the Pittsburgh Steelers at Cleveland. Cleveland Browns are a 3.5-point favorite in that one. Pittsburgh just feels like they're not very good. I think the Cleveland is pretty good. I've got one spot left. I don't like what's left, but I'm going to take Cleveland all the way at the top at number one. Brian.
So I believe Baker Mayfield, hey, save some last names for the rest of us, buddy. He's out, right? I think they're starting Case Keenum, which makes it very difficult. You never want to bet on a Case. Like, if your quarterback is like a Tom or a Joe or a Steve, you're feeling pretty comfortable. You come in and your quarterback's name is Case.
Changes everything.
I got a problem with that. That said, Trav's kind of right. Pittsburgh sucks. Ben Roethlisberger's awful and old. I'll take the Browns. I'll lay the points and put that at whatever number I have left.
You have three left, so you get the Browns at three. Slay last
Steelers with a one.
Steelers with okay. Are you just zigging to wherever everybody zags?
I think I have to because my other picks were awful.
All right, so he's got the Steelers at one. Brian, very very good job.
Thank you, Brian.
You don't want to chop it up some more?
You're no, done? You're done.
Thank
That's
you,
enough. Slee already said that you get to come back. That's a problem in and of itself. So we'll debate that off the air potentially. All right. So there you go. There is our picks of the day. By the way, great game tonight.
Awesome game tonight.
Great game tonight. So Emily, take me through this again when you get a second. I know she's still on the phone. I kind of caught her by surprise there. The here it is. Here's who the Packers.
She's talking with some friends. She's just enjoying herself.
Here's who the Packers have available at wide receiver tonight.
Okay.
Okay. So if Marquez Valdes-Scantling is not activated, this is who they're going to play tonight. Randall Cobb. That's a real guy. Amari Rodgers. Not a brother of mine. Mm-hmm. Equanimeous.
And not a brother of Aaron Rodgers.
Not a brother of Aaron Rodgers either.
Is Jordy Nelson playing tonight?
He is not. Equanimeous St. Brown. Mm-hmm. Malik Taylor. Juwan Winfrey, who is a practice squad player. And Chris Blair, who is a practice squad player. That Aaron Rodgers is awesome, Slee, but yeah. I don't know if he's that awesome. that's a lot of guys that you need to cover for. You have no Devontae Adams. You have no Valdes-Scantling. So they're going to really be missing some guys.
The NFL is so weird that anything can happen in any single game. And I think tonight is a perfect example where, okay, if you're the Rams tonight, you're kicking back. You don't have a game coming up until Sunday. Sunday you get to take on the Houston Texans and – you know, we know what the Houston Texans are. This is have Arizona lose their first game, which I think we both agree won't happen.
Doesn't feel like it,
just simply because, you know, Green Bay they're so beat up. Either way tonight, whatever scenario plays out is an advantage for the
It's a huge advantage for the Rams because look, the Rams, the Cowboys, the Packers, the Cardinals, and the Bucks. Those are the five teams in the NFC that have one loss or none.
Yep.
Right? So the Rams are in that mix. Anytime one of those other teams loses, that's very good news. If Arizona loses today, all of a sudden the Rams are right back in this position where they can be tied for the division lead, which we know that's the automatic spot in. Rams are going to make the playoffs. So are the Cardinals. It feels like that. But if it's Green Bay that loses the game, that's good news because now all of a sudden you have one fewer loss than them going into what would be week 9 next week. And I am counting the Houston win as a win. I just cannot come up with a scenario where they might not cover, but they're not going to lose that game.
I did that yesterday against the Thunder, but go ahead. Yeah, sure.
But now you get to play Green Bay later in the season.
Yeah.
So now you can really bury them as far as top seed goes. You've already beaten Tampa. You don't play Dallas.
You know why that's so big too? You don't want to play in January in Green Bay.
Okay, so the really good news is you're 100% right. The good news is the teams that are in the mix in the NFC, Green Bay is the only cold weather city in the mix.
But that's why I'm specifically talking about Green Bay. For the Packers, that's such a big advantage. Such a big advantage. And especially the way the Rams play, the way no determination of what that game would look like in January. If you can avoid Lambeau Field, what a huge advantage. So I think there's something. Maybe based off of that, maybe you kind of start looking at this game and saying, you know what, it's all good if Packers end up losing the game.
There's another rub, too. J.J. Watt's done. J.J. Watt's gone for the season.
Shoulder.
Shoulder injury. Adam Schefter tweeted that yesterday, that it's a likely season-ending shoulder injury.
It's awful.
Yeah, it sucks. J.J. Watt, he's one of the great players of all time. He's a surefire Hall of Famer. He's not quite what he was in Arizona. He's a fraction of that, but – look, you saw him out here at SoFi. He's still a guy that's in the middle of some plays.
And he's just in the mix. That organization, a lot of young players, right? An Arizona team that hasn't had a tremendous amount of – you want a player like that around, and even if he's just on the field contributing however you
Here's some good news, too. And I always think – Key kept saying this over and over and over again, and it kind of stuck in my head. Kyler Murray just is not a big man. He's just not. Right? You look at most of the quarterbacks in the league, and they're just bigger guys, right? Matt Stafford, you ever watch him walk through, everyone's like, holy smoke, that's the quarterback. They look differently.
So the two quarterbacks in LA, you don't have to go any further.
Exactly. Justin Herbert's 6'6". He's just a statue. he was very different, Kyler Murray we're talking about, at the end of the year last year than he was at the beginning. When at the beginning of the year last year, when he
they
was rolling
out,
he was incredible right up until a couple of guys got their hands on him. And look, when you're 5'10 or 11 or whatever he is, and a guy that's 6'4, 300 pounds gets his hands on you, bad things happen. And it's the NFL. They're going to get their hands on him occasionally. We're not talking cheap shots or anything. Just the attrition of bigger men lending on smaller guys leads you to have – because his game is about speed. It's about mobility.
Sure.
It's about being able to create things on the fly. And if he's got to run around with a gimpy knee or a hip or an ankle or whatever it might be, I'm much more interested in what Arizona is going to look like weeks 13 through the end of the season than weeks 1 through 10.
Absolutely. No question about it. And I think tonight, if you're a Rams fan, you're kicking back. You get to watch two teams battle, and whatever the scenario is, one of them will play an advantage to you.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You read this?
Hit me.
All right, so Front Office Sports puts out a tweet. 2021 World Series begins with MLB writing its best postseason ratings in 3 years. Postseason games have averaged 4.4 million viewers, up 95% versus last year. Viewership in MLB's critical 18 to 34 demographic is up 76% from last season. Mm-hmm. That's not
throw
a good
last
one.
Season
yeah, don't compare to last season.
Yeah.
But it says MLB writing best postseason ratings in 3 years. That's actually a little surprising. I don't know. I feel like there's zero buzz around Braves and Houston.
Well, I think you're right. First of all, it's
here?
So far, right? Those numbers are so far. They haven't factored in the World Series yet. It's postseason numbers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Think about what you have. You have the Boston Red Sox who have got fans
everywhere. No, postseason. I was actually just thinking of the World Series.
Yeah, no.
The World Series has not been very
By the way, you know what we haven't
intriguing.
Talked about that was pretty impressive? Charlie Morton pitched in the World Series with a broken leg for about a half an hour. That's not nothing. That's pretty damn impressive.
I had to go back and read that a couple times. Like, wait, what? What are you talking about? And I saw, I think I mentioned to you, you know, both Laker games had the game on Tuesday night against San Antonio mm-hmm. and then yesterday against OKC. I have the game on. So the game's on in the background. I watched that live. The comebacker hits him in the foot or shin
the
or whatever
shin,
it
yeah.
is. And nobody paid any attention to it. It was like he's just going. And then I see the pitch live that he kind of buckles.
Yeah, well, his leg broke.
Buckles.
yeah.
And then is just the...
Yeah, I'm done.
Just walks off.
It was...
Like, what the hell are you talking
and
about?
And Steve won the game, too. Like, he left him in a position to win the game. It was super early, but it was pretty darn impressive.
Baller.
Bob Gibson had done something similar. I know Jack Youngblood for the Rams a million years ago played with a broken leg in the Super Bowl. You know who else did it? You know who else played with an injury like that?
Yeah.
T.O. T.O. when he was with the Eagles.
Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl against the Patriots that year, the
caught
one where Donovan
McNabb
was throwing up because he was so winded in the game, reportedly. T.O. played in that game with a busted leg. That's you know, everybody wants to take a run at T.O. for a variety of stuff. And by the way, I'm here for that. That's fine. I'm good with that. But
that's why
he's a pretty tough dude.
I go back to one of my favorite Kobe highlights of all time because it summed up Kobe. Like nobody else can sum up Kobe. This one possession is when he tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
Got up, walked over to the bench. Timeout is called, walks back to the free throw line, shoots two free throws. No, there's no expression, nothing. No, I don't need help. Walks all the way back into the locker room.
It's the best look. It's the toughest look, and it's the exact opposite of falling down like someone shot you through the face and then running down to the other end of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact opposite of that, if something like that ever happened.
There is, and
Not
also
that
I
can think of anything in the last couple of games. But
also, I think the sport is different. Guys are going to be them.
Russell Westbrook would shoot his free throws with a torn Achilles.
No, there are still players who are like that, but I spend time talking with Michael about this in the pregame. Because Michael will always bring up, remember AC Green? Remember Kobe Bryant?
Yeah.
Remember how these guys in these predicaments, these situations.
Remember Klay came back on the court after 100%. Getting hurt against the Raptors.
100%. But you use those as kind of examples. Just, you know, league is different.
Ignacio is our winner. Ignacio from Whittier. You enjoy the Laker game coming up Friday night against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Congratulations to you. More tickets coming up on Mason and Ireland. More tickets coming up on Sedano and Cap as
there
well.
You go.
So if you didn't get them from
us,
you can get it from them along the way. Russell Westbrook had a weird night last night. He had a triple-double. He also had a quadruple-double, if you throw turnovers in there as well. He missed a shot towards the end of the game, an open three that really had no chance of going in. It came in pretty hot. And he had the moment. He gets, you know, like you mentioned earlier, he had the early tee, which was kind of silly, and then he had the late tee. He ended up getting kicked out, and that was kind of a bad look for him, but whatever.
Is what it is.
It is what it is. The Lakers are not where they are right now. And again, this is coming from the guy that is waiting to see how the Russell Westbrook experiment goes, right? That will it work? Will it not? I have my doubts. But where the Lakers find themselves through five games, this isn't about Russell Westbrook. This is about the Lakers collectively. Russell Westbrook is not the reason they blew a 26-point lead. The Lakers are. Russell Westbrook is not the reason that they've only won two games out of their first five, despite having a pretty favorable schedule through the first five games. It's a collective lack of defense. It's a collective lack of ability to finish someone. It's a collective lack of ability to make open shots. This is not a Russ thing. This is the team is playing poorly through five games thing.
You know, it's also unfortunate because I think it's going to bring up questions. We listened to James Worthy a little bit earlier. That's not the Laker way. You start questioning, hey, what's the effort look like? Do you care? Is there, when you're up 26 points and you got a squad full of veterans who've been in this position before, have been in a spot like this where they understand, look, you know, you're going to tell me Carmelo Anthony in his 19th year in the NBA doesn't understand that anything can happen in any game. You don't think Rondo and go down the list.
Dwight, I mean, and DJ.
Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook.
By the way, Malik Monk's been in the league for a while. Austin Reeves can have the excuse of, hey, you know, really that can happen?
Yeah.
He's the one guy. The rest of them, you said it. This looked like a young team that didn't know how to finish something off. The problem is, it was the young team that didn't know how to finish something off that came back from 26 points down.
And still didn't know how to finish it off.
Still didn't know how to finish. But that makes sense where the veteran team with Hall of Famers on every position practically looked like they had never played an NBA basketball game against a bad team before.
If the Lakers blew a 26-point lead yesterday and it was kind of an outlier so far in the season, we'd still be here saying, what the hell is going on? The problem is, they've played five games. There's no point in any of those five games. You can give me your observation, but this is my observation. I have not walked away and said, man, that's a really good half of basketball. Man, that's a solid 15 minutes of Lakers basketball. I haven't. You know, if you want to look at the start of the season against the Golden State Warriors and somebody's going to say, oh, well, it's the first game of the season. Okay. If you want to look at the Phoenix Suns game and say, well, Phoenix is going to be a team that's going to compete in the, you know, Western Conference Finals, sure, if you want to say that too. If you want to look at Memphis and say, well, you won the game and you escaped and, you know, that's all that matters at the end of the day, fine. If you want to look at the Spurs and say, well, you know, the Spurs are really well coached and, you know, they got guys that play hard, it's an excuse for every single game so far.
Right down the line. Look, here are the things that people were asking about the Lakers coming into the season. Can they play defense? Can they make shots? How do the pieces fit together? Are they healthy? So far, 0 for 4. Right? And I get it. It's five games.
It doesn't mean it's not going to change.
Right.
It doesn't mean that
but
30 days from now they're going to look the same. But all we can assess is what they played.
Are the Lakers a good defensive team through their first five games? No. They're not.
They've
given up 100.
I didn't even have a term for it because no wasn't strong enough to describe it.
They've given up 115 or more points in
every
all
single
five
game.
It's never happened in the history of the team before. Do they make open shots? No. Do they fit well together? At best, you can say we don't know yet. At best, you can say we don't know yet. But so far, not perfect. No. And are they healthy? No. I mean, when you look at it like that, now the good news is you said, we've got nothing but time. They've got 77 regular season games left to try to get all of these things to go from no's to yeses. But through five games, it's whoa.
Is it kind of interesting, too, the Kendrick Nunn, the THT, some of these younger players, just kind of watching the league. And we had a couple callers make reference to this, that the league is so young and fast now. Mm-hmm. It is so young, and the style of basketball is so much different than it was 10 years ago. And a lot of these guys were playing in the league 10 years ago. So I bring that up as a point because where maybe Kendrick Nunn and THT, you looked at those two players and said, okay, yeah, they're going to be, you know, role players. There's going to probably have to be a lot of times during games or during the regular season where you're going to need young guys kind of staying with the other younger guys in the league, and then at the same time, the vets kind of come in and close it out or whatever the case is.
Go back to the championship team from a couple of years ago.
Okay.
LeBron was playing at a high level. Anthony Davis was the best version of himself. They had guys making shots. Everything seemed to be going really well, but they were able to get stops when they needed them. Even when they'd lose a game to Portland or they'd lose a game to Houston in the early rounds, or Denver, whatever, you're like, guys, this is, they're going to, not only going to win this series.
Stops was the foundation.
They're number one defensive team in the league. Mm-hmm. As you've seen these first five games, do you think that this team can get a stop when it needs one?
They will.
Can they right now?
Right now, no, but I'm going to use yesterday's game as an example. I hate to see this. Carmelo playing 30-plus minutes on a night that he wasn't hitting, right? So it's one thing if, hey, he's got 25 points. You got to leave him in there because he's such a big threat. He played 31 minutes. Dwight played 14. You know, if at the end of the day, Lakers came back, they beat the San Antonio Spurs a couple nights ago. You know why they beat him? Because in the fourth quarter, Dwight played a lot of minutes. The Lakers got stops. They had defensive stops. Put everything else to the side. They were able to get stops. Yesterday, I thought it was opposite. When you had a 26-point lead, it was more offense than it was on the defensive side. Obviously, that changes everything.
They need to get a whole bunch of things figured out, and thankfully, they got enough time to do it. Here's the other part, too, and last thing I'll say about that. It's not just, hey, once LeBron comes back. LeBron was there for three of these games.
Sure.
LeBron was there for three of these games, and one of them you got smoked. The other one you got beat by a team missing its second-best player. And the other game was if John Morant makes a free throw, who knows what happens.
I know I don't say this often, but I'm going to say it again. I said it earlier in the show. I'm glad they lost yesterday.
Yeah.
I really am. I really, truly felt like if they ended up winning – first of all, they made – poor decision after poor decision down the stretch. Russ taking a three. They call a timeout. Malik Monk, isolation basketball, taking a three. He airballs it. Carmelo gets a steal, airballs a three. He said it kind of slipped out of his hand. Put all that to the side. I think it's important for them, big picture, to not be able to just kind of slide through the back door. Nobody saw him. Hands up. Hey, but we got to win because they did that against the San Antonio Spurs. And I thought it was.
And Memphis.
There was something about taking that L and everybody talking about the Lakers taking that L today. So I felt like that was key. All right, we got the dump coming up next.
Yes.
And is there there's a couple topics here that I think are a little interesting in regards to some stories that we haven't got into yet.
Well, there's National Chocolate Day.
That's what it was.
I have National Chocolate Day. Emily is being very critical of my chocolate decisions. She said that they're not right, so I'm going to take that very personally.
All right, that's coming up next day right here. Travis and Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Who wanted to win that game less last night, the Lakers or the Thunder? Because the Thunder, while they fought back from a 26-point deficit, they did everything a young, inexperienced, not very
they
talented
didn't know
team
what to do.
Does
That's the difference.
To give it away. And the Lakers still couldn't take advantage of it.
They didn't know how to win.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost similar to that game against San Antonio Spurs. Spurs so young, they know how to win.
When they threw that pass to the middle of the floor.
Pirtle missed 49 free throws in the fourth quarter.
It wasn't great.
Michael called him Tim Duncan during the game.
But when Melo just basically caught that pass that was thrown to him and his own end of the court from a Thunder player, at that point you're like, what's going on? Yeah. It's like, if I didn't know any better, I would think that both of these teams are actively trying to tank to get the number one draft pick.
I can't, you know, and I hated the end of the game because that became the conversation. Oh, Lakers should have done this. Lakers should have done that. They should have. No, they shouldn't have won the game.
No, they shouldn't have been. They absolutely shouldn't have won the game. I still keep coming back to this. I still keep coming back to what James Worthy said after the game.
This might have been like the worst loss I've seen.
Because you're up 26, right?
It just sucked that they have this mentality that they can't finish games and they think that teams are going to just lay down for them. And they got to change that. This was really ugly. I don't have a whole lot to say. I'd put him on Greyhound and let him drive back to L.A. and think about it. Because you cannot perform like that. You can't be a Laker and play like they did.
That's the thing that just resonated. So I was watching the postgame show last night, mm-hmm. and he said that. I'm like, whoa, you cannot play like that and be a Laker. That you could tell that was coming from the heart from James. That was coming from a place where, dude, you can't wear that uniform and do that.
Hey, I've felt that way about you walking away from shows. So I know where Worthy's coming from.
Yeah, maybe I need to step up my game a little bit along the way. You never know.
So you keep, like, I don't know, you're batting at your hair and your head.
Yeah, there's something on
head.
My forehead that keeps dangling.
You did
in
this
front
a
of
couple
my,
days ago as well.
It's back.
The lights in the studio, you know, they're so bright. So I could see everything. Everything shining off the floor.
Pretty
You're not
handsome,
wearing
huh?
a hat. You know, no. none of that stuff. You got one hair literally standing tall, well above the pack. And it's, I don't know what's going on here.
It's bothering me.
You look
me.
Like a mess because you
I,
just
I keep
going.
Swatting it like an invisible mosquito or something that's in the room. It's bothering me a great deal. Let's not focus on my hair.
Let's go to the dump.
Let's go to the dump.
Yeah.
All right, so it's National Chocolate Day, and Emily, I'm going to give you the floor here for a second because you were saying that my dark chocolate choices are unacceptable.
Well, dark chocolate is just a terrible choice.
Dark chocolate is the best by far.
Thank you, Al.
But it just tastes like bitter. Why would you?
Well, how dark? How dark are you going to go? You can't go like 90%, which, by the way, I will do.
Like 70-30.
It's going to be bitter.
70-30 is good.
It's not. It's bitter sweet. It's both. You're right.
But it's mostly bitter. When I go for candy, I want
some
something
almonds
that's
in there, some sea salt.
Oh my God.
Call it a day.
That's literally the worst candy in my mind. I don't like my nuts in
Taylor,
my candy.
Help us out. What
and
do
I don't
you
like dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate guy?
There's sweet candy, there's sour candy, and there's bitter candy.
But do you like the dark chocolate?
That seems like an oxymoron. You can't say bitter and candy. Candy's supposed to be sweet and nice.
No, it's
candy.
It's the perfect little bitterness that goes with the sweet chocolate.
Tomorrow, I'm going to Trader Joe's tonight.
I'm
going to
buy you a big bag.
I'm bringing you so much dark chocolate.
It's gonna go to my roommates. It's not gonna go to me. I was gonna
you
say
won't even
I'm
try.
Gonna, I was gonna say I'm gonna give it to the dog, but that would
no,
kill
no,
the
no,
dog.
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't
do that. The dog will not appreciate that at all. How about this, Lee?
Yeah.
James Harden has only taken 15 free throws this season. That's the fewest in this amount of games since his 2010-2011 campaign, and I love it. I love that James Harden can't get to the line.
Listen, there's certain things in sports. You have to adjust. There's certain we talk about baseball all the time. Can we just get, you know, instead of having a catcher behind the plate, or I'm sorry, an umpire behind mm-hmm. the plate, just the technology's there. Just use it. The one thing I hated about the NBA and always have, James Harden's a good player. That's not basketball. You spend more time trying to draw a foul than actually having a possession that's just a natural basketball play. The rules that they changed affect James Harden the most. And I don't mind it for 1 second. It's a better product because of that.
It wasn't basketball. I agree. It was rigging the game. It was legal, and it was a way. It was an effective strategy, and it worked. But it wasn't basketball. And from an entertainment product, it didn't get any worse because James Harden's going to what was he a 90% free throw shooter? He's just getting free points all night long.
Here's the thing: it wasn't Harden's fault.
No,
the NBA,
no, no, no.
Why did you
not.
Let it go on for so long? But they obviously implemented the rule. It's affecting him the
most. He's going to have to make shots.
2-3
way.
Brooklyn Nets. 2-3 Los Angeles
Again,
Lakers.
Again, the Lakers had a disastrous night last night. But it's and we've spent a lot of time talking about why, how, and whose fault it is.
Yep.
It's five games.
Back to the silver lining.
It's five games. Everybody take a deep breath.
Clippers lost again last night. Let's keep it moving.
Yeah, you
Let's
really like that one. How about this?
Yeah.
One of your favorites, Elon Musk,
mm-hmm.
the guy that you would like to have a lunch with.
Yep.
He is so rich that Elon Musk could buy every single NBA team, National Hockey League team, Major League Baseball team, and NFL team if he wanted to. He could buy all teams from the four major leagues in this country.
He's $250 billion?
Sure.
What happened in the last 2 weeks? Did something happen?
I think Tesla, I'm not even kidding, I think Tesla's stock went nuts.
It did. Okay, so let me say this real quick on Elon Musk. Really cool, he can own all those.
He should do it. He's busy.
No, let him keep doing what he's doing, because at the end of the day, we don't need him to run the Pittsburgh Pirates. We need him to figure out how to get to different parts of...
I don't know. If anybody could fix the Pirates, maybe it's Elon Musk. The Seattle Kraken, the newest team in the NHL.
Yep.
After they win a game, they throw salmon into the crowd. Now, they're plush salmon. They're stuffed animals. Why? Look, it's the Pacific Northwest. You go down to that Pike's Place Market, let's get some real salmon and start firing them into
the crowd.
How
cool is that? Throwing that thing across? You ever watch them do that?
I have. It's awesome.
And listen, maybe they'll start taking some requests. Maybe
they
want
some
salmon,
Lee?
Some tuna. ESPN app or on iTunes, catch the full 3 hours. We're back tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
If they're taking requests, I would have tuna would be my first choice, maybe sea bass number two.
A salmon roll.
And then three salmon could be there. Mason and Ireland coming up next. Travis Lee, we'll see you tomorrow morning, 9:55.